I've been led to talk about a subject today, and that subject heals, delivers, sets free, sanctifies, protects, preserves, prospers. There's so much more. But God led me to talk about the power of the blood of Jesus today. You know, there are thousands of people who have already accepted Jesus, but they're not living in the full power that God has given us. And so we'd like you to come on in here and hear what he has to say about that, you know, and come up higher. You know, we've been, for the last 3 weeks, we were teaching on an excellent spirit. An excellent attitude toward God. And, you know, with that excellence to come up higher, to reach whatever potential God has placed inside of you. Everyone, he's done different. He's given us all different gifts, different things, different callings that he has for us. And he expects us to come up higher. Remember my picture with the dolphins, you know, from SeaWorld, that little one, he's going to get up there too eventually, you know? But anyway, so, our ability to come up higher, to walk in victory has all to do with what Jesus did on that cross. It has all to do with the blood that he shed. And we're going to be talking about that blood. Okay? We're talking about the blood and how that changes everything. Without his blood, we have no hope. There would be no hope, guys. His blood changes everything. So we're talking about his blood today. Okay? You know, we sing songs. We sing songs about it. We plead the blood. You know, we talk about the blood at communion time. By the way, we are going to be taking communion today, so just prepare your hearts for that as we're going through this message. But I really felt led to talk about the blood and some of the things that his blood has provided for us, what it has accomplished. Okay, Jesus paid a very high price for us. To sup today, a very high price. And so we have a lot to cover, and I'm going to ask you, I want you to see, we're not going to be able to hit everything. We could be on this subject for all eternity, but could you please hand these out? These are going to help you. We're going to go through point by point as God directed me during the study, and I want you to see, I want you to fill up your paper with what he's done. Communion is not just a religious service. There's so much more to it. Communion represents the sacrifice that Jesus provided for us through his shed blood. When we take communion, we're communing with him. We're in communion. We're declaring that we're in union with him and what he's done. We're in union with that. We remember. We're supposed to remember what he's done. Yeah. If anyone needs something to write with, if you came unprepared to write today, I know we usually have things up on the screen and on the board, but this is take home. I want you to have this a take home. You could do communion in your own home. You don't have to come here. You can do it in your own home. But let's see what his blood has provided for us. We come to the communion table in humility, and in reverence to God, in confession. We come in worship, and when we do, he strengthens us through the communion. We're going to be looking at a lot of things that Jesus' blood accomplished for us. We need to know, why do we do this? Why do we do communion? We didn't know why we do it. What we go over, the points that we go over, this is by no means an exhaustive list. We could be on this message for a long time, but we're going to be going over the points that God brought out to me during my prayer time. And I don't want to rush through it. We may get through all those points today, and we may not. But it's okay, all right? We're going to be getting a lot of word today. This is Word of Life Church. Are you okay with the word?
Amen.
Okay. All right. We come here for meat. We come here to feast on his word. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And then there is a second plan here in this message, and that is, how do we apply the blood to our life today? We know how they applied it back. You know, remember when God instructed them, take hyssop, dip it in the sacrificial blood, and paint it over the doorposts and on the sides. Okay, that's how they did then. They applied the blood for their protection, right? Well, how do we apply it today? That's what we're going to be talking about. So it's kind of like a two-parter here. All right, it is impossible to place a value on the blood of Jesus. It is priceless. No silver, no gold, no amount of precious gems on this planet can compare. We're talking about something very, very precious to every one of us today. The Apostle Peter, Kathy, spoke this in 1 Peter 1:18. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct, from your useless way of living, your empty way of living that you received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were bought with blood. You were bought by Jesus' blood. Do you think he thinks you're pretty important to him? Yeah. We can't place a price on Jesus' blood. It's priceless. So that scripture says that we are redeemed with the blood of Christ. We're redeemed. Redemption. It's an accounting term, redeemed. There's payment here. There's some kind of payment. The word for redeemed in the Greek word is lutroo. It means ransom. It means to redeem. I want to give you a Webster's dictionary definitions. We may not have them all up there, but this is what Webster says about redeem. To recover property by discharging an obligation. Number two, this is a second definition. To ransom, to free, or to rescue by paying a price. The third definition, to free from the consequences of sin. Whoa. I don't think this one's up there, but look at this one. This is the fourth definition. To remove the obligation of payment. This one's not up there either. But the fifth definition is to convert into something of value. Another definition, to atone for. And the last definition in Webster's is to change for the better. This is powerful, guys. Powerful. We're talking about redemption here. My Bible dictionary says this about redemption. Deliverance by payment of a price. It says salvation from sin, from death, and the wrath of God. Whoa, that's redemption. So number one on your paper, what has Jesus purchased? What has he accomplished with his blood? Redemption, our redemption. Redemption is number one. The book of Acts says that Jesus purchased us, the church, with his blood. Kathy, could you, Acts 20:28. the church of God, which he, Jesus, purchased with his own blood. We were bought at a very high price. Very high price. It was Jesus' blood. So we want to know, well, what did he purchase us from? What did he redeem us from? We need to know that. And Paul tells us in Colossians 1:13 and 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So his blood redeems us from the power of darkness. Who's that? Satan. We're redeemed from the power of our enemy. We're redeemed from all of his, you know, little tricks, sin and death. And that says it conveyed us into God's kingdom, not hell. It saved us from hell. And Kathy, the next scripture I have there is Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Whoa. So number two on your paper there is the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin. And, you know, that definition of redeem included to atone for. Jesus' blood atoned for our sins to give us life and not death. Life is in the blood. Yeah. Kathy, could you bring up Leviticus 17:11? For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Whoa, we're talking about blood here, guys. Jesus' blood, not just anyone's blood. It's Jesus' blood that we're focusing on today and what God says about it in his word. I want to read this to you. It's not up on the screen, but John 6, verses 53 and 54. This is what Jesus said. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. No life in you. Verse 54, for whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Eternal life. Spiritual, we are to partake of all that Jesus did on that cross. We're to receive it. And the result is we have eternal life. Number three on your papers, eternal life. We have it now. We have it in the sweet by and by. Thank God for that. But we also have it now. You know, we all know the story about Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed in the garden. And they ate from the one forbidden tree, that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we know, we've learned about, you know, how God's mercy, he was merciful, how he loved them. And in his mercy, in his love, he removed them from the garden so that they would not eat from the tree of life and remain in their fallen state. That was love. That was mercy. And how the only way for man to be restored was through the sinless, spotless, precious blood of the Lamb of God. That's what we're talking about today. So through Jesus' blood, the Lamb of God, we have redemption, we have the forgiveness of sins, and we have eternal life. 1, 2, and 3 on your paper. Jesus' blood paid for the debt of sin that we owed, but he paid for it. He owed nothing, but he came down and he atoned for us so that we would have life. That's called good news. The Bible calls that good news. The good news. That's what the angels were talking about. Remember when little baby Jesus was born? Yeah. You know, the angels, you know, they were talking to the shepherds that they were out in their fields, and we don't have this scripture up there, but it's Luke 2:10. He said, This is what the angel said to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. If you look it up in your Bibles, Luke 2:10, great joy for all people, all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord. This is good news for all people. Why? Because all people have fallen short. All people have sinned. So the angels are declaring that Jesus is the promised Messiah for all people. That this is good news. Because of him, God's wrath would be appeased. Okay? Remember, peace toward men. Because Jesus had come to pay that sin debt. So it was Luke 2:14, peace toward men. And Jesus was the only one that could do it. No one else could do it because we'd all fallen short. He was the only one with the sinless, spotless blood who could do it. You know, the currency of heaven is blood. And so Jesus was our Passover lamb. Remember John the Baptist? Jesus was coming toward him, you know, to baptize, he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away all of our sin. He paid for that. And then 1 Corinthians 5:7 says this, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus is our Passover lamb. You know, the Passover lamb, that was the animal that God instructed the Israelites, he wanted to take them out of Egypt. This was the 10th plague here. And God instructed the Israelites, every household, to select a one-year-old lamb without blemish, no broken legs, don't bring any feeble anything, you know, spotless. And so they were to take that lamb and kill it. And the head of the household was to slaughter it and apply its blood to the tops of the doors and the posts. They were supposed to use hyssop, remember, like a paintbrush. Dip the hyssop and paint the doors. And that's when God would come, the firstborn in everyone's household was going to be killed. And so those houses that had the blood on it, he was going to pass over those houses. That's the Passover. Now, he also gave instructions. Everyone is to stay in that house. Stay under that protection. That's a good word for us today. That's a good word. And so that's how they applied Jesus's. That's how they applied the sacrificial lamb blood to the door frame. And there is a way for us to apply our sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb for us today, and we're going to be talking about that. We can do that today. He doesn't have to come and die again, but we could apply his blood. It's once for all. And so something I want to bring out here. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus' blood covers it all. He paid for the vilest, wickedest person that you can think of on this planet. He paid for their sins. He paid for them. You know, last week we talked about, you remember Sophie Scholl? Yeah. Remember we talked about Sophie Scholl. She was a college kid in Germany the time that the Nazi regime was in power. And her and her brother and a few other friends, like four or five, these are college kids, just had an excellent spirit towards God. And they stood up and said, this is not right. They were the first ones to do that in that country. And the reason they wanted to wake everybody up. Wake up, you sleeping Germans. Wake up to what's going on. And they were telling them what was going on. So they were printing out pamphlets and things, and secretly, because, you know, they knew that if they would be found, they knew they would be killed. So they were doing it secretly for a while. But then eventually the Gestapo did find them, and they went to the guillotine. They went boldly to that guillotine. Much, much courage. They were encouraging people to stand up against Hitler. Hitler was a pretty mean dude, wouldn't you agree? Do you think the blood that Jesus shed on the cross was for Hitler too? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How about Stalin? Think that blood, you know, would have covered Stalin? How about Idi Amin? Or how about Bin Laden? Yeah, that blood was for all. That good news was for all people, all men. So Jesus paid for the sins of all of those guys. So I don't know what you've done in your past, but Jesus' blood took care of that. Doesn't matter what you've done. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's what the angels were singing. Goodwill, peace, goodwill toward men. They were saying, guys, the war's over. The Messiah's here. He's here to pay for all your sin. It was good news. That was good news. He came to pay everyone's debt because we couldn't. We have all fallen short, right? We've all sinned. Only Jesus' blood could satisfy the wrath of God. Only his sinless, perfect blood. So Jesus paid our debt, and he placed his wrath on his son. And God isn't angry at us anymore. He loves us. Jesus' blood gave us peace with God. Number four on your paper. Peace. Peace, goodwill toward men. Isaiah 53:5, that verse has been going around quite a bit today, says that the chastisement for our peace was upon Jesus. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes. So God is reconciled to man. Man may not be reconciled to God, however. I don't know if Hitler, you know, trusted in Jesus before he took his own life. I don't know. I don't know about Stalin or Idi Amin. I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus went to that cross to pay for every single one of our sins. That was his part. Our part is to believe and receive. Make him our Lord. The debt's been paid, and every person has to put their faith in Jesus, what he has done with his blood, in order for that blood to have its full effect. So our sin debt was paid for. Jesus' blood and our faith in what he's done has redeemed us from the pit of hell for all eternity. And that's good news. Hebrews 9:12. Do we have that up there, Kathy? Hebrews 9:12 says, he says that Jesus obtained an eternal redemption. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all. Once for all. Once for how many?
All.
All. Not just a select group of people. Once for all. He doesn't have to come again and hang on the cross. He did it once and for all. And so through Jesus' blood, we are saved eternally. Scripture also says that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, right? Galatians 3:13, this is also part of the redemption. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And you can read about the curses in Deuteronomy 28. Okay, so that's part of the redemption. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. All right, so Jesus' blood justifies us before God and frees us from the fear of God's wrath. Kathy, can you bring up Romans 5, 8, and 9? He justifies. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 says, much more then, having now been justified by his blood. Whoo! We shall be saved from the wrath through him. Justified. So number 5 on your paper should be justification. Justification. And we also got another one in that verse. We shall be saved. We shall be saved. So number 6 on your paper should be salvation. We've been saved from the punishment of hell, from the wrath of God. And remember that word salvation? What's that word? Salvation? Sozo. What does sozo just mean? You know what? We're gonna be in heaven when we die. Is that all that means? No. What else does it mean? Healing, deliverance, preservation, protection, prosperity. We got it. Wholeness, forgiveness of sins, everything. It's wow. That one's got to be on your list. That one's a mouthful. Okay, so justification is number 5 and salvation is number 6. Kathy, could you bring up Romans 3, verses 24-25? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And verse 26, we got that one? To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Ooh, we're learning how to apply that blood. So Jesus' blood justifies us before God. It justifies. If we put our faith in Jesus' payment on the cross, what he paid for us. So that word justified, Kathy, do we have that up there? Yeah, here we go. Dikaioo. That's Greek. I know Greek. I know very little Greek, but all right. So that word means justified. It means to render just or innocent, to free. It means to be made righteous. We are justified. Justification is part of what Jesus did on that cross. His blood renders us innocent. It renders us righteous before God. It puts us in right standing with God. His blood. This is not up there, but 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's the righteousness of God. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. It's his righteousness. His blood made us righteous. It sets us apart. It's an acquittal. It acquits us. We're reckoned righteous. We're reckoned justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Okay. So, we're doing good on time here. What's the next one? Number 7. We're up to number 7. His blood sanctifies us. So, sanctification is number 7. Kathy, could you bring up Hebrews 13:12? We got that one? Yeah. That he, Jesus, might sanctify the people with his own blood. Another one, Hebrews 10:14, it's on the screen, but for by one offering that Jesus made, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What sanctify? Could you bring that word up, Kathy? Sanctify? Okay, that word is hagiadzo. It means to sanctify, to make holy, to purify, to make blameless. Blameless. Wow. This is what my Bible dictionary says about sanctification. Listen to this. It's based on the sacrificial death of Christ. Okay, that's what we're talking about today. It is the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness. It's a separation from the world, and it's a setting apart for God's service. in the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices didn't take the sins away. They just were able to sanctify them for the purifying of the flesh for a period of time. But the blood of the new covenant goes a whole lot further than that. The blood of Christ, it also purges our conscience from dead works. Kathy, do we have this up there? Hebrews 9:13. We do. Okay. So for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Did you see that? Jesus' blood cleanses or purges, it purges our conscience. Number 8 on your paper. What does Jesus' blood do? It purges our conscience. Kathy, can you bring up Hebrews 10, 19 to 20? Okay. 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Wow. So, first of all, in that scripture, back in 19, verse 19, that scripture says that we have access. We now have access to God, the holies, to God's presence. We have access. Jesus' blood gives us that access. We can come boldly into his presence. We can have boldness through the blood of Jesus. Kathy, could you bring up Ephesians 2:13? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So Jesus' blood gives us access to God's presence. Number 9 on your paper. What is it? What did his blood accomplish? Gives us access to the presence of God. You could go directly to him. We can draw near with a true heart, absolute confidence, absolute boldness, without an unclean conscience when we sprinkle or apply his blood to our hearts. His blood cleanses our conscience and it gives us boldness. His blood, his shed blood, gives us boldness. Number 10 on your paper. Boldness. And that scripture says that Jesus is, he's our high priest. He's our high priest. The most important responsibility of the high priest was to enter into the Holy of Holies, right? And he was to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial animal, right? Yeah. He was to make atonement for himself and for the people that he was in charge of, okay, for their sins committed for that period of time. Likewise, our hearts need to be sprinkled with the sacrificial blood of the Lamb. Our hearts. His blood cleanses us. Powerful. And this is an interesting thing to know too. God said that he would not remember our sins anymore. He would just forget them. He would not remember them through the blood. He has covenanted to not remember those sins when we accept by faith that Jesus has already dealt with our sins, right? Hebrews 10:17, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Hebrews 8:12, God says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. No more. Woo! Okay. That was Hebrews 8:12. He doesn't remember our sins. And that verse that we looked at before in Hebrews 10:19, it revealed that Jesus' blood gives us boldness, you know, to enter into his presence. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I said before, the currency of heaven is blood, right? So, Kathy, could you bring up Hebrews 9:22? And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That word for purified there in Strong's is katharizo. Katharizo. It means to cleanse. It means to clean. It means to purify. Number 11 on your paper is it purifies. It cleanses. That's what the blood of Jesus does. And I want to look at another word in that scripture we just looked at, that word remission. I just want to look at that word, okay? This is the Greek word. Do we have it up there? Kathy, do we have it? Oh, we got it. Okay. Aphesis. That's the Greek word for remission. It means, aphesis means remission. It means freedom. It pardons. It delivers, it forgives, it brings us liberty. Jesus' blood purifies, cleanses, it remits, it pardons, it delivers, it forgives us of our sin, it gives us liberty. We're talking about the blood of the Lamb. His blood cleanses from all sin. Kathy, could you bring up 1 John 1:7? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from a few of our sins. All means all in Greek and Hebrew. All. It means all. Revelation 1:5, Kathy, we got that one up there? I can hardly see with the glare on here. Okay. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Do we have verse 6 up there, Kathy? Okay. And has made us kings and priests. Woo! To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Not only does his blood cleanse us, it washes us, it purifies us from our sins, but it also makes us kings and priests. Whoa. Huh. What do kings and priests do?
They rule and reign.
Yeah, and serve and run. Woo! Okay. Whoa, you got it. They rule, they reign. They have authority to do that. Okay. Kathy, could you bring up Revelation 5:9? And 10. Okay. This says, only Jesus is worthy to take this scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Whoa. Because of his blood. What did his blood accomplish? We are kings and priests, and we rule and reign. That is that number 12 on your paper. His blood makes us kings and priests to rule and reign with authority. We're royal, guys. We were singing about that this morning. We were singing about that. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. So kings rule, they reign. Priests are spiritual leaders, you know, over people. They have authority to rule and reign. And who do we rule and reign over? What do we rule and reign over? Woo! His blood allows us to rule and reign over everything that is opposite God. Sin, death, sickness, anything that is opposite God, any of the curses, anything opposite God, we can rule and reign over them. Okay, Kathy, could you bring up Revelation 12:11? This is how we do it. And they overcame him, who? The devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. So we can overcome the devil through Jesus' blood by our testimony. That's how we rule and reign over sickness. That's how we rule and reign over disease and anything that is from the devil. So number 13, his blood helps us to overcome. We overcome the devil. We overcome the devil and anything that's in his package. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. By his stripes. You know that cat of nine tails that executioner used on Jesus? When that thing hit his body with the glass, the shards, that thing ripped flesh out of his body. And along with that, the blood came seeping through those wounds. Those by his stripes. That cat of nine tails drew blood. Stripes on Jesus' body. Isaiah 52:14 says, if you remember this, that Jesus' visage was marred more than any man. What that is saying is he was a bloody mess. He didn't look like a man. He was a bloody mess. That's what that verse is saying. He was whipped and he was beaten so badly. By his stripes, we are healed. Kathy, could you bring up this scripture? We've been talking about this scripture pretty much today, haven't we, Dave? Okay. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Number 14 on your paper. Healing. Healing. It's in the atonement. These are scriptures that spoke loudly to me a number of years ago when I was in need of healing myself, and I was going to a church that said, you can't expect a miracle. You can't expect God to heal you. But, you know, and that was a medical doctor telling me that. He was a medical doctor that didn't believe the word. And he was an elder in the church. He was over certain families, and our family happened to be in his jurisdiction. But that's what he said to me. But, you know, I started reading scripture, and what I saw in there didn't agree with what that guy was telling me. So I chose to believe this one, what God's word says. So I had gotten introduced at that time to Ken Hagin's ministry, to Papa Hagin, okay? And someone had given me that little God's Medicine booklet, that little, did you get a welcome packet? In that packet, there's a little blue booklet. It's called God's Medicine. So I'm sharing why that, how that little booklet got into our welcome packet. Should be in there. I was introduced to Ken Hagin. I had never heard of the guy. I didn't know who he was. But someone gave me that little, actually, it was, I have the original. It was in orange originally, okay? But now it's in blue. But this is the original. It's taped together. I have yellowed the pages because I have walked the streets in my development. I've walked down to the Kalmbach Estate and talked to the trees, Gary says. I wasn't talking to the trees. I was confessing the word of God over myself. No, it was originally orange. No. Now it's blue. The original book, it's the same book, but originally it was orange, and now it's blue. And so when you open up the welcome packet, they're now blue, okay? So I read this thing, and Ken Hagin has his testimony in here, how he was 17 years old, and the doctors diagnosed him, and they told him he was going to die, and physically he was going down that way. He became paralyzed. He couldn't do anything. He had a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease, incurable by the medical doctors, okay? So they told him that he was going to die. But then he shares how God started speaking to him and he started reading the Bible, you know? And he saw some things in there that healing was part of the atonement. And so he believed it, he acted on it, and he received his healing. And then, of course, he started his own teaching ministry. And he taught on these very scriptures that we were looking at, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. But this is what he said. This is what Papa Hagin, I never actually spoke to him personally. I've been in his meetings. You know, he's in heaven now. But this is what he said. He said, you know, our Bibles can be a little blind to us, depending on what version you're looking at, okay? They can be a little blind. And so in this scripture, surely he has borne our griefs. If you look up the original Hebrew word, what that said, that means, that word means sicknesses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses. You look it up, it's in there. And so if he bore our sicknesses, we don't have to. He bore them for us, right? Okay, and then he said that, and he carried our sorrows. That Hebrew, that original Hebrew word is pains. He carried our pains. If you have any pain in your body, you have any pain, he carried it. You don't have to have it. Okay, so if he bore our pains, we don't have to deal with that pain. Now, I don't know Hebrew. You know, I'm back there. At this time, this was a number of years ago, I didn't know Hebrew. I'm learning about this Ken Hagin. Is he telling me the truth? I don't know. God, is what Ken Hagin said, is that true? Can you prove it to me? Because none of my Bibles say that. I have lots of versions. None of them say what Ken Hagin just said. And so, I'm asking God to help me. You know, before you can make a demand on something, you got to know what you got, what belongs to you. You know, if you go to the bank and you want to withdraw money, you got to know what you have in there. You know, you just can't go and ask for $1,000 if you don't have it in there. But if you do have $1,000 in there, I want my money. You can demand that money, okay? So I'm asking God, is this true? You know, what Ken Hagin said about this scripture that he says, that's what the Hebrew says. I don't know Hebrew. And so, not coincidentally, my kids were little then, and so I was working part-time in the Emmaus School District. I was working in the Emmaus School District part-time, and there was a gal working with me that I got to meet, and she was Jewish. This was not a coincidence, guys. She was only there for a short period of time, and then she was gone. But she was there for a reason, and I was there for a reason. Because she was real sweet, real nice Jewish girl. We got to talking about, I want to know about your, in the time that we had, about your beliefs. And so, she shared that they don't believe in Satan, even though Satan is in the Bible. But anyway, so she I was asking her about her Bible, and she said, it's a Jewish Bible. So on one side of the page, it's Hebrew, okay? And on the other side of the page, it's translated into English. So I said, awesome. Could you do me a favor? Could you please copy a page out of your Bible? I'd like to see what Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 says in your Bible, in your Jewish Bible. So she said, sure, okay. She said she would do that. And so this is what she gave me. Can you pass that out? So that's what she gave me, and sure enough, I'm reading in there. If you look at it, it's yellowed. I have it yellowed. Go down to Isaiah. See how they got the Hebrew on the one side and the English on the other. Drop down to the yellowed. But in truth, I'm starting at verse 4. But in truth, he has borne our sicknesses and endured our pains. Absolutely, that's what I needed to know. My faith jumped bazillion, just jumped up. I'm like, yes, that's my bank account. Now I can make a withdrawal. Now I got the truth. So powerful, powerful. Jesus bore our sicknesses and he bore our pains. When? At the crucifixion. Okay? And so since he bore them, we don't have to. We can make a demand on the healing that he's already bought and paid for. So my faith increased exponentially. I tell you, it was shot through the roof. It was awesome. Woo! Okay. So anyway, that's why we put those God's medicine booklets in every welcome packet. We just want people to know the truth. We want them to know the truth. Who doesn't need healing? We deal with all kinds of stuff. The enemy comes against every one of us. So we got to know what we have available to us. And then, we have many versions of Bibles, okay? And I have a lot of commentaries. And so I do a lot of studying, you know? We do study a lot. But I have a really good commentary that is my favorite. It is my favorite. The commentator is Kathy Heisler. This is the best commentary. Everyone get a copy of it. She did a word study. She did a word study on these particular, I'm telling you, we're talking about these scriptures. She did a word study on these particular scriptures, Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. And what she did was she took each word that's in those scriptures, and she went to Strong's Concordance, and she translated it. And she put it together. Okay? So I want us to read that. Everyone got a copy? Okay. Let's read it together. This is Kathy Heisler's version, her commentary through Strong's Concordance on Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. All right. Read it with me. Surely he has borne our sickness, disease, anxieties, and calamities, and carried our anguish, our pain, and afflictions. Yet we plotted and devised evil plans to punish, defeat, and destroy him, and be slain, beaten, and slaughtered by God, and humbled and browbeaten. But he was defiled for our sin and rebellion. He was broken to pieces, crushed and destroyed for our sin and guilt. The discipline and correction needed for our health, prosperity, safety, tranquility was upon him. And by his hurts, wounds, and bruises, we are cured, relieved of disease, and restored to normal. Woo! That's what we need to declare out of our mouth. No matter what it looks like or feels like or smells like it. That's the truth. It's the truth. So that's just powerful. There are other scriptures that confirm that healing was in the atonement. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Do we have that up there, Kathy? Jesus healed all who were sick. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So here's Matthew, and he's referring back to what we just read, that Isaiah just said, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Okay, we got three witnesses. Let's go to Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So Peter's looking back. What's he looking back at? Yeah, that's where it was paid for, in blood. It was paid for in blood. By his stripes, you were healed. So healing is deposited into your supernatural bank account. That was, I just gave you three witnesses right there. Yes. Absolutely. So how do I apply the blood of the Lamb to my situation today? Jesus, he's not coming back again. He doesn't have to come back. He said once for all, right? So how do we apply that blood? We do it the same way that you got born again. Same way. You believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe it in your heart and you speak it. You speak it out of your mouth. You say it. You believe it in your heart. That involves our confession. What we say, okay, we're talking about confession. How long do you confess it? Until you see it. Until you see that manifestation. Until you see it. Jesus' blood purchased it, and our faith, our confession, releases it. Powerful, powerful stuff. Hebrews 3:1 says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He's our high priest. He watches over our words to perform them. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:1, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus. You might want to look at your Bibles for this one. We don't have it up there. It's Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. I want to read this. Here the writer of Hebrews is speaking to Jewish Christians, okay? Hebrews 12, verse 22. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Amen. That blood speaks. It speaks. So Jesus is our intercessor. So number 15 on your paper, intercession. Jesus' blood speaks for us. He's our intercessor in heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. He's our intercessor. Oh, the blood of Abel. Abel's blood was taken unwillingly. It was taken. Jesus gave. He gave his blood willingly. And Abel's blood was spilled out. Jesus' blood is sprinkled. Sprinkled. Abel's blood, just like she said, cries out with vengeance. Cries out with vengeance. Jesus' blood pleads for mercy. Mercy. That's huge, guys. Huge. Huge. So number five is intercession. He's our intercessor. As priests, you know, we're priests. We're kings and priests, right? Woo! Royal. We got a lot of royalty in this room. If you're born again, you're royal. Royalty. You got Jesus' blood as part of your DNA. So how do we apply Jesus' blood to our situation? This is the second part of this message. I want to use an example that I used many times, but this is how you do it. The way doesn't change. It doesn't change, okay? This is how we apply the blood. You know Ken Copeland. Everybody know Ken Copeland in here, okay? Awesome, awesome man of God. He had some kind of illness. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember if it was his back or if he had the flu. I kind of think it was the flu for this particular situation, but he applied the blood of Jesus to his situation, that flu, whatever he was dealing with. The way he applied it is the same way that we got saved. He believed the scripture. He believed what the word said, and he was speaking it out of his mouth, okay? He said, by the stripes of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. He said that. I don't know. I forget how many, like 355 times. He said, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. How do we overcome? By the blood and by the word of our testimony. By his stripes, I am healed. He said it for 355 times. No change in his body. But on the 356th time, he said it. All those symptoms left his body. That, it took him that long to believe it. You have to believe. We got to believe. And we speak it out of our mouth. We believe in our heart and we speak it out of our mouth. That's how we apply Jesus' blood today. He doesn't have to come back and hang on the cross. We have to apply, we as priests, apply the blood for ourselves. Okay? I know a pastor who took it a little bit further. She said the blood of Jesus has made us priests, and one of the duties is to sprinkle that blood. And so 1 Peter 2:5 says that we also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So she said, as Christians, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, and we're priests, okay? So we're to reconcile. You know, we're to help. We're supposed to serve others. So 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How many people do you know that need to be reconciled to Jesus? You come across them when you go to the store, you know, in your job. At school. So she says we can apply the blood for whatever situation there. Gary and I, we're dealing with a situation right now. I'm applying the blood to it. I'm applying the blood. I'm believing in my heart and speaking it out of my mouth over someone who needs to be reconciled. I'm applying it. So anyway, this pastor, she decided to test the blood, and she asked 100 volunteers in her church to get in on the test. And so she said, you know, if you have whatever issue you got going on in your life, whether it's an illness yourself, or do you have a wayward child, or do you have whatever's going on, you can apply the blood to that situation. So she said, for 2 weeks, every morning and every night, I want you to apply the blood to that situation. You wash them in the blood. You wash their mind. You speak it out of your mouth. By if it's a healing, by your stripes, I'm healed, or this person is healed. You speak it out of your mouth. I thank you, Lord, that you purify the thoughts of this wayward person. You cleanse their thoughts. I cover them. We cover them with the blood. And she said, within 2 weeks' time, this is 100 people, 70% said they saw dramatic change that they had been praying for years, simply by applying the blood every day, morning and night. So we can apply the blood to every mess that we're, every situation that we're facing too. You can apply the blood, just like Kenneth Copeland did. He applied the blood. I'm going to finish this. And the final thing that the blood does, I want to share with you today, is that it allows us to take part of the communion of remembrance of what Jesus did. Okay? That's number 16 on your list. Luke 22. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." You know, that pastor that told their church, "We need 100 volunteers." We just sang, "The blood washes me." She said, wash yourself. If you're hurting, just wash yourself in the blood every morning. You got a sore arm? Wash it. You got an ache? You got a pain? Every morning, every night, wash it in the blood of Jesus. And they saw incredible results. So right now, this, what we're about to do, cost Jesus his life. But the victory is in his blood. We just sang about it. It's in his blood. Prepare your hearts to take communion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.